The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What's going on, everybody? Mike here from MMAfighting.com, and today we're doing something a little bit different. Welcome to the name to be determined later, but today we're going to call it the MMA Fighting Melting Pot, where a topic that has divided the MMA world, and we have two individuals who are going to make their best cases on which side is correct, which one is incorrect, and you, the listeners, you will have the power to decide whose case holds more water, so to speak. So you are the jury. And today's topic, John Jones versus Tom Aspinall. We have the champ versus the interim champ. These men have been going back and forth on social media. Both have made their points. In some cases, the points are still going on, but that's neither here nor there. But let's figure out who is more right, who is more wrong, with the help of two of our wonderful colleagues here at MMAfighting.com. First, representing Tommy Aspinall. And he is 0-1 representing Tommy Aspinall and cases on this network, as you'll remember from a past ranking show. But he is back to defend good old Tommy Aspinall again. He is Jed Meshew. Hi, Jed. How are you?
Mike, can I just say that 2024 has been a joy. Just an absolute joy. I mean, woke up one morning and it was, hey, here are these incredible fights. Dustin Poirier is going to fight Benoit Saint-Denis. No one expected this. This is fantastic. Charles Oliveira and Armand Sarukian. It's great. Then I wake up this morning and I see that the internet is dunking on Jonathan Dwight Jones because the man has big feelings. He's got a whole lot of them and he is sure to want to talk about those big feelings. When really, I've already explained exactly what's going on. I don't know why we need to have this program right here. Everyone knows the story, but sure, let's bring our other guest in so he can be incorrect for a while and I can show him the ways of the world that we discovered at the end of last year.
And that man will be representing one Jonathan Jones, Mr. New York Rick, Eric Jackman. Hello, sir. I feel like you're the right person to represent John Jones. Thank you for being here.
I might be John Jones' best representation to date. I mean, you know, based on the track record, I might be by default be his best representation. But
you can't do worse than he's doing for himself right now. Damn sure.
I am very happy to be arguing on behalf of the GOAT in this conversation.
Couldn't be my GOAT.
Well, if you have been hiding under a rock, if you have no idea what we're talking about, I will do my best to lay this out as quickly and as precisely, I guess, as possible. So John Jones wins the UFC heavyweight title in March of last year. He submits Ciryl Gane in the first round in the main event of UFC 285. Jones was scheduled to fight Stipe Miocic at UFC 295 in November at Madison Square Garden. Tears his pec, forced to withdraw. So the UFC books an interim title fight between Tom Aspinall and Sergey Pavlovich, which was won by Aspinall in quick and devastating fashion. Jones has now undergone elbow surgery as well to add to the litany of and list of injuries. And Aspinall certainly wants the John Jones fight, as he should. And John Jones wants the Stipe fight. The UFC wants the Jones versus Stipe fight as well. And this came to a boiling point around Monday night into Tuesday, because Aspinall drops a TikTok video that got a lot of attention of him going old and gray, waiting for Jones. And then Jones goes to social media, as he typically does, posts, then deletes it. Says, quote, "I recognize only four of these names on your resume. Launching TikTok attacks while I'm over here on the injury list is just whack. You get no points for that where I'm from." Then he follows up with the Twitter storm that begins with, "Only four recognizable opponents and already the King of England. Must be nice. There will be legendary tales told about you and your infamous callouts." Then he responds to a fan saying essentially, "John, you can't blame Tom for being frustrated." And John responds with, quote, "I mean, it doesn't really work like that. I was champion when I was 23 years old. You can't show up at age 30 pretending like you've been chasing me your whole life. I have no clue who 90% of his resume is. Meanwhile, I've been highlighting UFC events my entire career." I think he means headlining UFC events. Aspinall then responds on Tuesday. This is what we woke up to. And he says, quote, "John, you're letting your ego run wild here, mate. I'm not downplaying your resume. It's incredible, far superior to mine. You are known as the best fighter ever, and that's exactly why I want to beat you. Surely you can understand that." And then he adds a tweet that read, "John Jones, quote, you need to fight people who build your legacy. Me? Great idea. Absolutely. UFC, do you want to fight Tom?" Stipe says no. John says no. Me? Emoji. And John has since responded multiple times. I'm not going through each and every tweet, but both guys are making their cases here. So Jed, we'll start with you really bluntly and quickly. Why is Tom right? Why is Tom right here?
So Tom's not all the way right, and I'll get to that at the end, because there's one real issue I have with what Tom's doing. But let's just start at the beginning. John Jones is scared of Tom Aspinall. I don't know what other way to view this as. And in fact, let me take a quote, if you will, from Jonathan himself. At the time of our recording, this was tweeted, let's call it 54 minutes ago. It says, "The GOAT is getting older now and is running from fights. 36-year-old lifelong champion starting to contemplate retirement. What a chicken." I mean, I know that he's saying that tongue in cheek, but like straight up, that's what's happening. Now, I am not here to tell you that he is afraid of a fist fight, but he is clearly afraid of the possibility of losing this fist fight. And you can couch it however you want to put it. I'm sure Eric will try and do that of, no, like this is fight sport, and you why accept high risk for low reward? And that's okay. Like, I'm not here to say that it is wrong that he is afraid of anything. But at a base level, if what you are doing is choosing to place your quote-unquote legacy, and God knows we can get into that aspect of it too, over the rightful challenger here, you are admitting that that fight is more challenging and not as good of a business opportunity for you. I can't blame him for business, but I don't know, man. Just a big old chicken.
Nirik Rick, why is John right here? And I guess why is he more right than Tom Aspinall, I guess we could say, because I'm sure maybe he's not all the way right in your opinion as well.
Yeah, let me just start by saying, well done, Jed, like presupposing my argument and like defeating it by saying what I'm going to say. Well done, counselor. Impressive. John is correct because this whole debate, quote unquote, which I don't think is much of a debate, is based on it hinges on some things that are not actually true. For one, it hinges on the interim UFC title meaning something. It does not. The interim UFC title does not actually mean anything. It's insignificant. It's at best a number one contendership, at worst, a ticket in line that goes nowhere. It's completely meaningless. Number two, it presupposes that the interim champ has to fight the actual champion upon their return. Not true. In fact, there's precedent that that's not true. Michael Bisping fought GSP and didn't fight Robert Whittaker. Just does not. It's 100% not true. And then lastly, it also hinges on the fact that the UFC has been a meritocracy in the last 10 years, decade plus of its existence, which is not true. And it has not been. And their entire model has been based around making fights that they feel are the most significant fights. In this case, and John laid it out very nicely in one of his recent tweets from the last hour or so, he wants this fight. The UFC wants this fight. Stipe Miocic wants this fight. All three parties involved want this fight. On the Tom Aspinall side of things, only Tom Aspinall wants the fight. Unfortunately for him, he loses. That's just how this goes. And now he can fight Stipe Miocic, but Stipe doesn't want to fight him either. And so he's going to have to go further down the line and fight a Ciryl Gane or fight a Jalton Almeida. And that's fine. And if anybody's going to begrudge John Jones for saying no or saying, I want to aim for the fight that I want, I would ask, are you going to hold Tom Aspinall to the same thing? Are you going to say him aiming for John Jones and Stipe Miocic means that he's scared of Ciryl Gane, means that he's scared of Jalton Almeida? Or aiming for super fights with Alex Pereira throwing out random fights instead of the other heavyweight contenders in line, would you hold Tom Aspinall to the same standard? To me, this hinges upon some things that are faulty in logic. And then add on top of that, John Jones is the MFing GOAT and should decide who he wants to fight, period.
That's ridiculous.
End of story. End of story.
That's ridiculous.
He gets to choose. He's earned it.
It was ridiculous. I couldn't give a shit what he's earned or not in this. As a fan of the sport, it does not matter to me. He absolutely can choose because we can all dictate the lives we want to live. He wants to do it, but he's also going to have to wear this part of the business. Here's my issue, Rick, with this whole thing, because longtime listeners of like our various programs will know that I have spearheaded a bit called Gaslight John Jones that I firmly believe in. And I swear, like, I think it's working because there's a reason this man is tweeting up a storm on a Tuesday. It's because it is getting to him. The chatter is bothering him because his ego cannot handle. Like, just think about all the interactions John's ever had. When Khabib, during all of his greatness, was like elevated to the top pound for pound, and people started to speculate, maybe Khabib's the top. John could not deal with it. And had to tweet about like, oh, well, he's undefeated now, but like he hasn't, he can't handle it. And so I think Gaslight John Jones is going great right now. But the issue that I have with all of this is I am starting to buy my own gimmick because John can't be honest about any of this. And that he did. You're right, Rick. He has the one thing that is a terrific point. The UFC wants this. He wants this. Stipe wants this. That's the three legs to make a tripod, baby. That's how a fight gets booked. And I cannot argue with that point. I can argue with every other tweet he has sent because they are all riddled with like either outright lies or insane delusions about things that are going on. And like the first one that cropped up on my timeline this morning was a retweet from somebody else that was hey, so that's not how this works. As Mike sort of alluded to, a fan said, hey, you can't blame him for being upset about it. No, that's not how this works. I was champion when I was 23. What does that have to do with shit, John? And that's exactly how this works. Coming at Tom Aspinall's resume, only four dudes I've ever heard of. John, do you want us to go back and look at your resume before you fought for the title? Because, like, are you hanging your hat on Andre Guzmão and Jake O'Brien really being, like, the stalwarts you think it is? Like, it is all... I could tolerate this so much more if he could just let it be. Because we all know what is happening here. Nobody is in the dark about how things are going. And as I said at the very beginning, I don't begrudge him for doing business. This is business, and I get that. But I do begrudge him pissing on my head and telling me it's rain and that Tom Aspinall doesn't deserve this. And that's not how this works. Like, I've been fighting dudes forever. Okay, you fought one heavyweight, my brother. And you had a great run at light heavyweight. Undeniable. But let's not pretend that Stipe's helping the legacy Oh, this is for my legacy. Who is giving this any credence? For we all know what this is. Why not go fight Mark Coleman? He's a historically relevant heavyweight. Tony Ferguson's a very significant fighter in MMA history. Those aren't, this is not, we know what this is, so just be honest about it, brother. Like, that's it. That is the only thing I ask, and I will stop being mean to you on the internet and riling up the people to be there with me. But, like, if you're just out here tweeting through this, you can't speak out of both sides of your mouth saying, I'm the GOAT and all the rest of this stuff. It's one or the other in this instance. And I don't blame you, but, man, just quit being this way about it, you know?
Rick, your rebuttal.
I agree with some of that. I agree with the idea that, like, the Stipe fight doesn't do what I think John or the UFC is suggesting it will do for his legacy. I agree with that point. I think that there is a bit of lying being done by both John Jones and the UFC here. I don't believe that this is some legacy-defining fight. Quite frankly, because I don't think Stipe is, like, yes, he may be the best UFC heavyweight, but I don't think he carries as much legacy and respect as some of the other names. So I don't rate it super highly as a legacy fight. I agree with the idea that this is business and he's choosing a fight that's going to be better for business in his mind. And the UFC is trying to put on a fight that's better for business in his mind. The one thing I'll try to explain away or try to justify is I don't think John Jones is suggesting, or maybe he is suggesting, but the kernel of truth in what he's suggesting, when he says, I've been doing this and you fought a bunch of dudes who I don't know their name. Maybe he fought a bunch of dudes, but that we didn't know their name before he got his title shot. But the reality is it's now 2024. He doesn't need to lean on that. Since then, he's become the MMA GOAT and he's allowed to call a shot. Yes, he's the GOAT. And he's allowed to determine his path. If that path doesn't include Tom Aspinall, tough effing cookies. Like, maybe John Jones doesn't return. Tom Aspinall gets granted the official title and his interim becomes an official and everything's kosher and everything's the same. He is not owed a fight with John Jones. There is no IOU owed to Tom Aspinall that he is deserving of a fight with John Jones. John Jones can give that to him or John Jones cannot. That is the reality. And he's going to have to live in that world. And John Jones is deciding right now that he doesn't want to give it to Tom Aspinall. Maybe that'll change. Hopefully that'll change. I want to see that fight. But there's no obligation for John Jones. The other thing, there is a kind of there's also this idea that, like, yeah, Stipe is not a legacy fight, but Tom Aspinall is a legacy fight because he beat the young, hungry lion. And, oh, wow, it's going to do something amazing for his legacy. In reality, the way that plays out is he beats Tom Aspinall, and then they go, Tom wasn't that good. It's actually Jalton Almeida. That's the guy I really want to see. And all of a sudden, it becomes this thing that when John was in his prime, it's fight this contender, and fight this contender, and fight this contender. That's John Jones's prime. He's not in his prime anymore. He's got a select few fights left to do, and spending his time knocking off the young, hungry, every single contender that is popping up, and people decide the last one was kind of a bum. Ciryl Gane was the future of heavyweight. Everybody was on that train. Oh, Ciryl Gane. Oh my God, Ciryl Gane. He's this hybrid fighter. He grew up in the system only doing it. He's not that guy. And John Jones exposed that. And then if he beats Tom Aspinall, it's going to be Jalton. And then it'll be, oh, you know what? We're circling back to Curtis Blaydes now. And actually, it was Sergey Pavlovich. And it will just never end. So this idea that, like, he'll put everything to bed by beating Tom Aspinall, fallacy. False. Not real. Now, it's a tough task, and I love it. And I would love if he was able to do it. But it's not putting anything to bed. The Stipe fight will probably make him more money just because it seems like the UFC is more willing to kind of put their marketing dollars behind it and put something behind this because it is quote unquote legacy for them. But this idea that Tom Aspinall is more of a legacy fight or all of a sudden does more for his resume, it's just unfortunately not true. It will not play out that way. Habib retired undefeated. There will always be a name that he didn't beat that everybody's going to drum up. And there will always be a name. If John beats Tom and walks away, it's going to be he was scared of Jalton. It's going to be he was scared of XYZ guy. It's just the reality of it.
That's just, like, almost objectively not true.
Please.
So here's the thing. You're right. It won't put anything to bed because the conversation is never over. That's just how sports work. There's always a new season. There's always next year. There's always a new contender. The game is not, I beat everyone and I get to the end of this game like it's an Assassin's Creed video game. It is, I hold off as long as I can. I am at the top for as long as I can, and eventually I do it. And eventually someone gets me and I go out on my back, because that's how it works in pro wrestling. Like, that's, you stay at the top for as long as you can, but life is infinite and we are finite. It is never going to solve everything. And I don't think anyone has ever said he beats Tom Aspinall unquestionably this, but beating Stipe does literally nothing for his resume. Like, absolutely nothing. I do not know a serious person who will give that win any amount of credence in the year of our Lord 2024. Beating Tom Aspinall may not, and certainly in the short term, I would agree with you, Rick. If he goes out there and he fights Tom Aspinall and he beats Tom Aspinall, people will immediately do what they have done with Ciryl Gane right now. Like, it, dismiss him. And maybe in 5 years, that dismissal is correct, because the conversation is evolving. And if Ciryl Gane never wins another fight, then yeah, well, he actually wasn't that good. And that's real to say. Hey, he had a good run and we felt one way at the time, but with better context, we know not. Or if Ciryl Gane comes back and he puts off a 10-fight win streak and becomes one of the most decorated UFC champions in all history, that win's going to age pretty damn well for John. And historically, when you look back, you're going to say, man, that was pretty good. Like, if you look back at Floyd Mayweather, you're like, hey, it's pretty damn sick that he beat Canelo, because Canelo went on to be what he is, and it is so significant. Tom Aspinall, there is no guarantee that he will be that dude. But there is an opportunity for him to build a legacy in the years to come that, looking back, a win over him, John, can say, I beat the best in generation after generation after generation. And that is a significant piece to his thing. Fighting Stipe does nothing for him. There is at least an opportunity by beating Tom Aspinall that it does. And I have been on this long before this was a conversation with John. I am the ringleader of the hardest thing to do is defend belts in this sport. And that one of the most impressive things about fighters is their ability to stay at the top and beat not just every dude in their weight class for a period of time, but do it generation over generation over generation. John is, again, I understand why he's doing it, but we can take this legacy shit just right out of the conversation, because it is objectively, to me, a better legacy fight for Tom Aspinall. I don't know if it's better money-wise. It is certainly a more high-risk fight than the Stipe. But in 5 years, him having a win over Tom Aspinall is way more important to me than him having a win over Stipe Miocic.
I just don't agree. I think they're equal. I just don't think, John already did that at light heavyweight. He already beat the different eras of fighters. He took out the old era and then beat the current crop. And people will pick apart his resume now. You know, people will denigrate Shogun like Shogun was some chump. Like, it's just the reality. I don't have enough faith in MMA fans, and I don't have enough faith in MMA history that this fight will be that significant in the long term.
Here's what you can have faith in then, Rick, because sure, straight up, I'm not Ariel. I'm not a major figure in this sport, but I swear to God, if he doesn't fight Tom Aspinall, I will spend the rest of my days covering this sport, making sure people know he ducked Tom Aspinall and that he wants to. My goat could never be afraid of Tommy Aspinall. And every time you say he's the unquestioned goat, I'll be like, no, Demetrius Johnson never ducked a soul. Jose Aldo never ducked a soul. All these other people never ducked a soul. John waited 3 years to move to heavyweight when Francis conveniently wasn't around anymore and then won't fight Tom. Your legacy, there are two sides to how a legacy conversation can go. And you not taking this, Tom? But buddy, that's going to be bullet point A in my argument for why he ain't the GOAT.
Two things I want to say. Well, first of all, he's the GOAT. Second of all,
couldn't be mine.
You mentioned Floyd Mayweather. The rap on Floyd Mayweather isn't like, more of the conversation around Floyd Mayweather's legacy isn't, wow, he really got Canelo. What his thing was, he got Canelo too early. He got Pacquiao too late. He never fought the guys when they were in the prime. He cherry picked the opponents. There will always be a way, no matter how great you were, they will always find the way to pick it apart. And John Jones is being subject to that right now. The GOAT is being subject to that right now. The other thing I'll ask is,
my GOAT.
Jose Aldo, Demetrius Johnson, all these fighters of a bygone era, would you agree? Would you say it is fair to say that the sport of prize fighting, if you even consider it a sport, the entertainment of prize fighting has significantly shifted to the point where next contender used to be more of a given than it is now, right? Like the way I look at the sport, the way I think about how fighters are picking their opportunities now, right? I would say that as opposed to 10 years ago, title shots are being given less on merit. Now, I'm not saying all of a sudden the system is upended where there's no merit, but it seems less on merit. The fabric of that has seemed to have eroded a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. I would agree to that.
I would argue that in this era, John Jones is doing what is the norm, is doing what is expected in this era. He did in the previous era. He did the thing where it was, okay, this guy's number one. I'm going to murder him. He's my best training partner. It's Sugar Shot Evans. I'll take him out. I don't care. Ruined friendships, just absolutely obliterated people during his prime. He did that era. Now he's in the era where title shots are not granted solely on merit. Now it's on. Now he's in the era where the money is higher. The opportunities are more important for you financially. He's setting up for his future. He's on the tail end and he's deciding these few fights, I'm going to choose who the opponents are going to be. And I'm going to do it within the confines of what this is. The UFC, he's not bucking against the UFC. They're in lockstep with what's happening here. So I would argue that he is doing what is expected of a champion in this modern era. Now, there's a great argument that like maybe this is corrupt. Maybe this whole thing is a sham at this point and it should go back to some sort of meritocracy. But that's a separate conversation. John Jones is operating within the confines of what exists right now. And I'm okay with it.
The NBA playoffs are heating up and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Great job, gentlemen. Great arguments. So I want to flip this in a different way. And Eric, I want you to go first on this.
Sure.
If you're John Jones's manager or PR rep, or, you know, this is a perfect question for you, the social media guru behind John Jones and his communication skills on social media and beyond, what's the next step? Should he keep doing what he's doing? Should he do the thing? New York, Rick, if so, what is the thing? What would you advise John to do next when it comes to
the
situation?
I wouldn't change a thing. The best thing about John Jones is how much of a sensitive, ego-driven person he is. The best thing about John Jones is that you can needle and prod him and get him to respond, because what it leads to is ultimately these fights that get picked and feel big. Francis Ngannou and John Jones spent the entirety of their beef on Twitter. There was no real interaction between the two. It was solely developed from you're scared of me, I'm scared of you. And it continued and everybody bought into it and it became this fight that people needed to have. The same thing is going to happen with Tom Aspinall. I would argue that there's already some real like steam to Tom Aspinall versus John Jones. If this continues in this manner, where John Jones continues to play this game where he's dismissing him while not dismissing him, like thinking he's dismissing him, but really just feeding the flame, and Tom Aspinall continues to lead into it, it will just create the opportunity for the fight to be exactly what Tom Aspinall wants it to be and what exactly what John Jones wants it to be, which is a big fight that is worth all the money that he can't say no to it anymore. Right now, it's not there. It is not there. But if they continue to drum up this kind of back and forth on Twitter and elsewhere, or all of a sudden run into each other and Tom Aspinall sitting front row at every John Jones fight and it can't be avoided, this will become a mega fight. And it will be something that John Jones will have to seriously consider taking. But it's not right now.
Jed, same question. Is Tom doing the thing? Or is there anything he can do moving forward that would lead him to do the thing? How would you navigate this for your quote-unquote client, Tom Aspinall?
I would just like to very quickly say, Eric, the best part about John Jones is when he is physically in a cage fighting someone and not him being the saddest man online, because it's tough. Like, well, I think we can all agree that when John does inevitably retire, it's going to be really, really awful to see him just like in his 60s. Well, I know that this young up and comer is really good, but he's not as good as I used to be. Just the loudest, saddest man.
And he'll be right.
He will not be. Things get better as time moves on. That's just how that works. Look, I said at the top of my thing that Tom's doing mostly okay, but I have one pretty major issue with him. And it's the almost the exact inverse of my large issue with John. My issue with John, as I've said, is that it's just a lie. I think the result is fine. Like, I understand the result. It's his process to get there that's garbage. With Tom, he got to stop being nice about it. Like, I know that he wants to do this, and maybe that is working thus far, you know, being the, but all of his responses, like you said, Mike, John, you're letting your ego run wild with you. I've never denigrated your resume. It's far better than mine. That's not what I would be putting. Be like, yeah, John, your resume is great. And if this was 10 years ago, that would carry water. But your resume at heavyweight's one dude. I got four in the top 10 that I've nuked. Where's your resume here, homie? Like, why are you scared of me? He needs, in the immortal words of Chael Sonnen, not here to be friends. I am here to pick a fist fight with you. He needs to start picking a fight with John, because, you know, TikTok posts and stuff, maybe this is a fine timeline to you start there and then you build into more animosity and it becomes like Eric had said, and there's so much heat that John accepts it. And if all of this is how that works out and John takes the fight, I'll stop saying bad things about him. But if he's not, you gotta prod him more. You can't keep coming with the, I just respect you so much, that's why I'd like to fist fight you. No. Because you can see that the words are affecting John now. There's a reason he keeps tweeting. He's not happy about it. And you got to get in there and needle him. And needle him hard with less of the, I respect you. And more like, man, you're doing a lot of talking. And you are just so scared to fight me. Because it's childish. But let me tell you, I was on a lot of schoolyards in my day. And saying, bet you won't swing, sure as hell got a lot of fights started, you know?
And now for the final round here. This is the closing statements for you guys. Truth be told, before we got started, I said this could be 15 minutes, and we've already doubled that before the final statement. So I flipped the cord here. It landed on Jed, so you get to go first, Jed. Your final statement, what would you like to close with on this conversation?
All I want in this whole thing is honesty from both sides. And Tom Aspinall has been abundantly upright about this. Everything that he has said, you can believe every bit of it with your whole chest. And everything John is saying, you can't. Because he's clearly not telling you the thing. Even when he's saying, you know, stuff like his most recent stuff. Like, a lot of y'all don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Okay, then tell us. Just lay it out. Lay out exactly why you don't want to fight him. And not with any of these, I've been doing this for 20 years or whatever. Just say the honest thing, because his two most recent tweets are, what I refuse to do to be like these other fighters who stuck around too long. He is saying in so many words, I'm a fight Stipe because it's easy cash and then I'm out of here. And then in the next tweet, he's like, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that I'm retiring after the Stipe. We know what's happening. We just want you to be straight up with us. And if Eric is right, and what you were doing is laying the groundwork, laying the foundation for a fight at the end of the year with Tom that has all this heat and animosity, I'll take back everything I said. I will have been absolutely incorrect, unequivocally wrong, if this was all some big brain, galaxy level plotting to build this fight into what it is. But on its face right now, it's not that. And it's so ugly and lame in a way that is legitimately bringing down my estimation of you as a champion, rightly or wrongly. It is actively hurting your perception publicly with some of the fans. So, you know, if you're scared, go to church. And if you ain't scared, fight Tom Aspinall, baby.
Eric, your closing statement.
I just need MMA fans to stop believing in Santa Claus. Like, we're too old for this. We have to get over this idea that, like, yeah, what's right and what's deserved, and this person gets this opportunity because they worked really hard. Like, enough already. Like, grow up and recognize what's happening here. Grow up and recognize what's happening in the entertainment that you watch in the business of MMA, and realize that this is the future. This is what is going to happen. Unless something drastically changes, unless all of a sudden we get
very nihilistic of you,
and we go back to where there was a meritocracy in the UFC and in MMA wider, get over it. Tom Aspinall has been declined by John Jones for one reason or another. Jed would argue it's because he's scared. I would argue that GOAT is not scared of anybody, and obviously that's silly. The point being, it has been declined. It has also been declined by Stipe Miocic. It has also been declined by the UFC. Tom Aspinall and his fans are the only ones who are caring about this at the moment. Unfortunately, that's not enough. Grow up and get over it. John Jones is going to fight Stipe Miocic. Put on the big boy pants, watch the fight, and then hope that Tom has done enough by the time that's over that he can get a fight with John Jones.
I love this so much. Also,
because I think Eric and I can agree on this, though. Ultimately, the actual party to blame here is the UFC, correct?
Absolutely. Oh, they deserve the lion's share of the blame.
I felt like we spent 30 minutes talking this, and we probably should have at least pointed out that the actual party to blame is the UFC. But in the terms of Eric, I've grown up and abandoned hoping that the UFC will ever do the right thing. And so it's just a lot more funny to make chicken noises at John Jones, because as science tells us, Eric, a chicken cannot be a goat.
Well, wow.
Or a duck, right? A duck can't be a goat either.
A duck can't be a goat either. Those are both birds, and birds are not goats.
Well, you can all be goats by voting on who you think is more right, I guess. MMAfighting.com, it's a tremendous website. There's a post up there in regards to this very topic. There's a poll in there. That's where you can vote. Are you on Team Jones? Are you on Team Aspinall? And my final thought is agreeing with Jed and New York Rick just closed with. It's just amazing, absolutely amazing, how everyone is divided and has chosen a side, but the UFC, who made this interim title thing happen, they just skate away with zero blame. It's unbelievable. It just shows how red hot they are. They literally just fall forward no matter what happens, and it's incredible. And to add to what Jed just said, UFC, you have shown already, just with the lightweight fights that you have made in 2024, you can do the thing. Here's your chance to do the thing again. We know you're capable of it. So just do it. Make this right, because this is all really dumb. If Jones and Stipe needs to happen, that's fine. But just have some sort of plan in place. Let's end this whole thing. Make Tom the champion. These could still fight. Who gives a shit? But let's just move on with our lives here. Because if I have to sit here and watch John Jones tweet at Tom Aspinall and random fans at Tom Aspinall, just be nice, and then just randomly have conversations with himself as other people, I might just lose my mind and rip whatever hair is left off my head out of my head. So
it has been deeply amusing to watch people like get mad at Tom Aspinall for objectively no reason.
It's crazy. But
can I just point out one more thing?
Please.
We literally watched this just happen with the welterweight title. We literally just watched Colby Covington get a title shot that he did not deserve. And everybody was up in arms, and Bilal deserved it, and he didn't get his shot. And now fast forward, the fight is over. The world is still on its axis. We're still rotating. Everything's fine. Nothing was materially different or worse because of that. Stipe will get knocked out by John Jones. We'll move on. And then hopefully Tom Aspinall gets a shot at John Jones.
I love that your argument is just nihilism. We're all cosmic deaths on a rock hurtling through space. None of it means anything.
Happy 2024, everybody.
Yes. And this has been The Melting Pot. And for all of us here at MMAFighting.com, may all of your ingredients as well as your arguments be fresh. Good night, everybody.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.